numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, it's a numbers game where sports betting lives. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D, all proudly brought to you by DraftKings. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm doing perfecto. How are you doing?
I am frantically soaking in the French Open draw.
Yes, you are.
Drew Densick and I are doing a podcast here in 2 hours on the French Open at Beating the Book. And I haven't gotten to the women's yet, but I did soak in the men's here. So we'll get to that here momentarily. Because I have some thoughts here in the first segment. Just seeing how the quarters have broken down. Here's the thing, and I don't know if this is... It's akin to golf, but it's not the same thing. The reason we're doing the podcast today right after the draw is because we're like, should we wait till tomorrow and see if the quarter odds come out? But we have no confidence that any of the books will have the quarter numbers out within 24 hours. Hopefully they will, but we just decided let's go with it right after the draw.
I think you guys are making the right call. Yeah. I think you're making the right call. I know it gives you a little bit more to talk about, but you could also...
It's also a Friday.
Right. Yeah,
the tournament starts on Sunday, so yeah. We'll get
Drew
to that.
Drew can come up with those numbers anyway. He'll have fair prices on all the quarters.
That's right. Yeah. As fair price, I have all that's coming up on the podcast side, and I'll have my men's draw comments here in mere minutes. Coming up on the show, it is Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen will have French Open thoughts. He'll have NBA thoughts. Congratulations to you, Kelly Bidlin, for hitting the Mavericks last night. And being one leg up in the Western Conference Finals. Mavericks win 108-105. We'll get to that momentarily. And Crack, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, coming up on the show as well. Oh, college baseball with Matt Grissom as well. We'll do that. Want to get that whole format and pods, and he'll explain everything to us. Okay, let's start with the Mavericks and Timberwolves before we get to the French Open. Mavericks and Timberwolves last night. Let's start with a comment made by the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, before this series. Quote, my matchup's going to be Kyrie, so that's going to be fun. We're going to see what I can do versus him. Yeah, probably shouldn't have said that out loud. First quarter, T-Wolves led by as many as 9, 21-12. Mavs then went on an 11-0 run to take the lead by 2. By the way, every NBA game is a game of runs. This was really a game of runs. 11-0 for the Mavs. They take a 2-point lead, 23-21. But Minnesota led by 6 after the first quarter on their own 12-4 run, 33-27. Kyrie, 13 points on 6 of 9 shooting, keeping the Mavericks in the game. Second quarter, Wolves would lead by as many as 9, but the Mavs finished the quarter with a flourish. And so the T-Wolves led at the half by only 3. Kyrie had 24 on 11 of 14 shooting. Jaden McDaniels, by the way, 19 at that point for the T-Wolves, 7 of 9 from the field. But here was the deal at halftime. Not only should Ant not have said anything because Kyrie had 24, but the Mavs from behind the arc, remember they're down 3 at the half. They were 2 of 13 from behind the arc, 15.4%, while the Wolves were 11 of 25. So if you just do the three-point scoring, Kelly, at halftime it was 33-6 from behind the arc in favor of the T-Wolves, and they were up 3.
Plus all of those unexpected points, I will say, from, I mean, it's also partially the three-point shooting, but McDaniels and slow-mo, Kyle Anderson.
Well, it was Kyrie going off, and it was that, as they pointed out on Inside the NBA afterwards, this drop-down defense that the T-Wolves do, and the Mavs were, they had 10 dunks, I believe. 10.
You could put it as simple as this. Luka offense better than Gobert defense.
Luka.
You put Gobert in pick and roll with Luka. He's gonna eat you apart, man. He did that all night long.
Sounded like you were speaking in monosyllabic grunts. Luka offense better than Gobert defense.
That's all you got to know.
That's all we got to know. That's our whole analysis. Why am I going through this? Third quarter, Dallas went up by a point for their first lead in the first quarter, since the first quarter, 67-66. But the Wolves led by 1 after 3, 83-82. And then the fourth, this is the run. Like I talk about, the runs were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wolves go up 89-84. Then Luka, a personal 7-0 run. It's 91-89 Mavs. By the way, that was part of a 13-0 run that gave the Mavs their biggest lead of the game, 97-89 at that point. You're like, okay, Mavs are going to win this. Nope. Minnesota, 13-1 run. They go up 4, 102-98 on an Ant 3, a Cat 2, a Gobert 2, and a Cat 3, and an Ant 3. Then Luka 3, PJ 3, Mavs up 2. Then Cat on a dunk follow-up ruled basket interference correctly, by the way. I think.
Agreed.
Then Lively traveled with 1:23 left. Then a terrible Conley to Gobert alley-oop attempt that got knocked away. Then Luka.
Wasn't that bad? It was a great play by Luka.
It was such a short pass that was never going to get home. Then Luka two, just a beautiful short range jumper two, and the Mavericks go up four. Kat misses a three. Kyrie misses with 17.5 seconds left. But that Luka shot was the dagger. So Reed puts in a tip in off a Kat missed three. That cuts it to 2:07 left. Kyrie hits both free throws. They're back up four with 1.8 left. And then Josh Green somehow fouls Conley from behind the arc. What are you doing? And Conley, who was a 91.1% free throw shooter this year, makes the first but misses the second. You got to make that second one so you can hopefully get a
Green
board and a rebound. But instead, they're down three.
What are you doing? What if he made that shot? Like, oh my God.
Oh, my God. He purposely misses the third, but nothing happened on the carom. Mavs win 108-105. Doncic ends up with 33. And Kyrie with a cool 30. 20. One again in the first half of that. 24, pardon me, in the first half. Really kept the Mavs in that game in the first half. And there you go. Mavericks, first blood drawn up one game to nothing in this best of seven series. And I guess my question to you is, you called this. It worked out for you in the end.
Yep.
It looked like it wouldn't several times down the stretch, but it did. If you're the Mavericks, if you listen to that Kyrie interview afterwards, with Inside the NBA, he was sort of like, yeah, they do what they do, and we just, and it seemed real easy for him.
Yeah, it was, I think one of those games from a betting standpoint, I think it's the result was kind of always in question, right?
Yeah.
I think the handicap was right. I mean, they brought it up on the game broadcast. I'm surprised they didn't bring it up 17 times more. Anthony Edwards had completely – he was gassed, exhausted, hiding in the corner, catching his breath.
What did you make of that?
I mean, what I make of it is he played seven games against the Denver Nuggets and then had to go out there. I mean, we talk about these guys that are great on both sides of the ball, which is awesome. It's a great ability. But when you have to try to keep up with Kyrie Irving on defense – all night long and then be the main guy on offense, it is very taxing. And that is what you saw, I think, in that second half. He couldn't even move. I mean, he was hiding, Gil. It was Mike Conley, take up the ball, I'm going to the corner. I need to catch my breath so I can play defense. I think he'll look better. Look, I think he'll realize, I think they'll scheme differently. If that means taking him off Kyrie and out of some of the defensive action to make, they have to have his offense. As good of a defender as he is, Timberwolves have to have him on offense. So they'll adjust for that. I don't expect that to be as big of an issue. But him and Kat both really weren't all that great offensively last night. And if you don't get that, this starts to look like the 17th-ranked offense that we saw during the regular season. So and they had trouble defensively, Gil, right? I mean, the Dallas bigs continue to be impressive. Derek Lively's amazing. What do we have, three centers in this rookie class that are just stellar? Like if Wemby didn't exist, how much would we be talking about Chet, right? If Chet did and Wemby didn't exist, how much would we be talking about to what Derek Lively's doing?
There's nothing about that outcome, though. Like, we could just as easily be sitting in here and talking about a Wolves win.
Absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. The result was always in question, right?
It was tight. It was Plinko all game.
So I think the ones where you look ahead to game two, right, it's – I'm not rushing. I'm in a very good spot series wise.
Yes.
So like, I'm willing to bet these game to game. Everybody's first instinct was to go and hammer the Timberwolves last night with laying four and a half on the opener. I held back. Like, are you gonna get better offense from Ant and Kat? Probably. You're probably not gonna get the same level of contribution offensively that you got from Jaden McDaniels and Kyle Anderson though. And the Mavs only made 6 3-pointers. The whole night they only made 6 threes. You telling me they're making only 6 threes going forward?
Well, that's why I said when you said the part about the T-Wolves not getting off the greatest offensive games from Ant and others. I think the Mavs can just as easily can counter that by saying, yeah, we didn't do that from behind the arc. And by the way, even though McDaniels played well, the rest of the team didn't really do much on offense. Like PJ and all those guys that we counted on the previous series, Gafford, they didn't really have great games, right? Other side. Yeah, PJ and Gafford, right? So it was just... I think both teams can say to themselves, we can do much better.
Yes.
And every outcome here will be much up in question. By the way, you see the Wall Street Journal just put out an article yesterday. See what it was called? How the worst trade ever built an NBA title contender. Thank you, Wall Street Journal. Real quick on the, should I do the French Open?
Yeah, let's go.
Quick?
What do we got?
All right, so
we
I'm just,
it with Zach too.
Just soaking this in. We're going to have Zach Cohen come up. Zach is next segment because he's going to talk NBA and tennis with us as well. So I've just had a chance to soak in the men's draw. I have not on the women's side, but the women's side is more clear that it's an Iga show. But on the men's side, Q1 is the Djokovic quarter. He's got Casper Ruud in there with him, and he's got some other like clay court specialists like Echeverry and Correa. He's also got Taylor Fritz in there, Cerundolo, another clay court specialist. If Joker's on his game, he ought to be able to overcome all, but I don't. Ruud and Fritz have unbelievable clay numbers. So that's tough. Joker's definitely the favorite in there. He's the justified favorite in there. It's a tough, tough go, though, I would say, generally speaking, if we don't know what we're going to get out of him. Q2. Rafa Nadal, 14-time winner, gets Sasha Zverev in the first round. Oh, my God, what a way to get out of this tournament. Because Sasha's going to beat him, because I don't think Rafa's anywhere close to top of his game. And that'll be the end of Nadal at the French Open. Also in Q2, Medvedev's on the other side, but he's not a clay court guy. You have some clay court guys like Navone, Kaboli, Dardari. Kaboli's actually all court. Zverev ought to be the favorite in that. Struff is kind of a good clay numbers. Dimonor's in there, but Zverev ought to be the favorite. Q3 is the hardest one to me at the top. Alcaraz, Rublev, and Tsitsipas. Also throw Shelton in there. Oh, my God. Alcaraz will be the favorite, but Rublev would be the guy, and Tsitsipas would be the guy that could take it over. To me, the betting opportunity will be in Q4 because we don't know what we're getting. If you don't believe that Jannik Sinner is top shape, there could be an opportunity there on the Orkatzes and the Dimitrovs and the Yaris or Baez of the world. We'll get into it more with Zach coming up, but Q4 might be where the opportunity is. Zach is next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch that has helped millions achieve lasting change. Zyn is smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free, and can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. What makes Zyn number one? It's available in a deep roster of varieties, including coffee, cinnamon, and citrus. And you can choose between two strengths, 3 milligram or 6 milligram. Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients and is easy to use. Plus, it delivers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch, and it's discreet, so you can enjoy Zyn indoors or out. Whether you're managing your fantasy lineup on the go, watching the game from the stands, or cheering your favorite team from the couch, you can get the nicotine satisfaction you want with Zyn. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn, Z-Y-N.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Majestic downtown Las Vegas. Coming up on the show, still, Crack, unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger. Matt Grissom on college baseball as well. We get tweets, Kelly. I don't know if you know that. Beating the book. Mike Stacks, you got your 3 games Christmas Survivor week. I'll be in Vegas in 2 weeks to take you and Kelly out to your favorite sushi place. Oh, apparently, so we have the announcement that we're... I guess Derek and Mike were on this morning.
Yeah, they went off all the money this morning, broke down, I believe, both contest details.
So we get the 3-game Christmas carve out. Okay, good. Not 2 games, in other words. Okay, so we don't have to have that discussion anymore.
Yeah.
Of like, do we even play this thing? Okay, good. Let's see. Joey Isaacs, what did you guys take on futures? I just have Rublev 45-1. Again, just a quick glance at the French. I don't have any yet because... besides my parlays with Iga on Joe, this is pre-draw, Joker, Carlitos, and Casper Ruud. The Casper Ruud one I'm quite happy with, actually. But again, for me, if you're looking at a bomb, Q4 is the spot for it. The Sinner quarter. If you think Sinner is not going to be 100%, again, doctors told him don't play in this. But I do think that your quarter Q3, sir, with Rublev, you got Tsitsipas and Alcaraz in there. I don't know about that one because Rublev's got to get past that quarterfinal ceiling thing that he has in his head. These are tough. These are pretty evenly broken down quarters. It's not one of these tournaments where we're like, oh my God, can you believe this quarter? And oh my God, what an easy path here. I think they're actually, because the reason for that is there's a lot of clay court specialists. There's like a whole Latin American tour of clay courts during the early part of the calendar year.
I didn't know that until you brought that up the other day. That's interesting.
It's not called that, but there is. So guys like Jari and Baez and Navone and Dardari, these guys are clay court specialists. So, like, Tabilo beat Djokovic, right? So they all have a puncher's chance. Maybe not to win it all, but to get far. And so that's a thing. And by the way, we did get a question also about, why don't they just do it by ranking every time? Why doesn't one play 32, two play 31, like that kind of thing, or at least broken down that way? Because if you did that in tennis, the rankings are slow to move. So you would basically have so many similar matchups from slam to slam that it would be boring. So every tournament does it a little. Wimbledon is the most loyal to the rankings.
How does that work? Is it like golf? Do they update those every week?
You are always defending points from year to year. So, in other words, if you did well in a tournament, exactly 365 days ago or 52 weeks ago, I should say, if you do worse this year, you're losing points in rankings. Does that make sense?
Okay. Gotcha.
By the way, Cavaliers firing coach JB Bickerstaff, we should point out as well.
Yes.
His dad, assistant coach, 1978 Washington Bullets, I believe. Was he the assistant coach on the? I know he was assistant coach on the 75 Bullets, Bernie Bickerstaff, but I think the 78 Bullets that won the championship too. Brian M. Oh no, we don't want to read that one. Hump Day Hockey. Did you touch on the new Pirates Hall of Famer Barry Bonds just stirring the pot? Yeah, don't get me started on that. Finally, a Hall of Fame gets it right with Barry Lamar Bonds. Okay, about those NBA prices for potential finals, for hypothetical finals matchups.
I didn't see this Barry Bonds story.
Barry Bonds in the Pirates
That's
Hall of Fame?
That's hilarious. Yeah. I did not see that. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if he's in the Giants Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
He is. He is in the Giants Hall of Fame because I think I attended that. I flew to San Francisco for that. I even forgot.
Well, then, like, what took the Pirates so long, then?
Well, because he played earlier in his career. He was phenomenal with the Pirates.
Yeah, it was awesome.
He was a massive free agent signing for the Giants as he went back home. But, yeah.
I'm glad they had 30 years to think about
it. It's almost like the team's way of flipping off the MLB Hall of
Fame. Yeah, right? I love it.
It's like, I don't care what you guys think, but he's awesome. All right, let's get to this. So we have, of course, the potential final matchups, and these are prices you can bet right now, correct? These are up at DraftKings. So if you want to take a flyer on these potential, there's obviously four potential matchups. Have at it. Celtics versus the Timberwolves. Celtics are minus 235. T-Wolves are plus 195. Now, part of this factor is obviously going to be where they are currently in the series, right? So the T-Wolves being down 1-0 affects this.
So what's funny is, Gil, is not really. They didn't really move at all.
From before yesterday's game?
Yeah. Because I went and checked, thought that same thing, like, oh, maybe they would. But, I mean, in theory, they are just look-ahead lines, so it doesn't really matter what's going on in the series as long as you get out of it, right?
Well, yeah, but you have to have a equal chance from the day before to get out of it for them not to move. That seems a little weird. Celtics minus 235, Timberwolves plus 195 in that potential matchup. If it's the Celtics and the Mavericks, Celtics minus 280, slightly higher. The Mavericks plus 230, slightly longer than the T-Wolves would be. Keep in mind, again, the Mavericks up 1-0 in that series, having taken home court advantage. Now, if it is the Pacers matchups, the T-Wolves would be minus 370. This would be the biggest, according to these numbers, this would be the biggest mismatch on the board. T-Wolves would be minus 370, Pacers plus 295. And if it's the Mavs and the Pacers, the Mavericks would be minus $3, the Pacers would be plus 245. So both of the Pacers series would obviously, they would be the bigger dogs, regardless of matchup, than would either the T-Wolves, T-Wolves Mavericks versus the Celtics. The Celtics would not be quite as big of a favorite on their side as the T-Wolves and Mavericks would be versus the Pacers, if that makes sense. So, is there a price there that you like? Obviously, you would like the Mavericks prices, right?
I think there's. I just looking at these, the uh, like Timberwolves Pacers, just please don't let that be the NBA Finals. Like, not that it's bad. It's just.
Can you imagine network executives? Oh, like, yeah. Minnesota and Indiana, baby. Let's go.
I wasn't even going to go from that perspective, sorry, but you're Minnesota. Right. Like, that, yeah, they would. Oh, yeah, they'd be crying if they got that matchup. But just so different. Just so, like, two teams that are so different stylistically that, like, I think I'd be forced to take a piece of the Pacers because I think they'd actually be able to just outshoot Minnesota in a game or two and at least keep it close at a price like that. I think in every other one of these, though, that we talk, I mean, I think me and you basically been saying it for a couple months now, I'd be looking Western Conference against the Celtics, and
yep.
I wouldn't be laying $3 with the Mavericks against the Pacers either. Like that, there is definitely some lack. I'm not even the biggest Pacers guy, but there's some lack of respect in these numbers.
Do you subscribe to this, though? Because this is, with basketball for me, this, I'm going to let the hate wash over me after I say this, that there is a degree of, well, there's a degree of randomness in every sport, as we discussed, but it seems to me like in these particular matchups, like, no outcome of any game would surprise me in either of these conference finals matchups, right? If the T-Wolves took down the Mavericks in game two, it wouldn't surprise me. If Luka and Kyrie did their thing throughout the rest of the playoffs, it wouldn't surprise me. Would the Pacers, I have the Pacers in seven against the Celtics, so it wouldn't like flabbergast me if the Pacers somehow put together an eight-game stretch of amazing offense that just overcame
right.
everything.
They can outshoot guys,
yeah,
outshoot teams.
So much of this is, and knowing that then, if you were just landing on this, like part of this to me is, okay, I'm betting tennis, right? I'll bet these things that you think you have more of a handle on, and it's okay. Like for me on some of these, like if I'm watching the Mavs and the Timberwolves last night, I'm like, I have no idea how this is going to turn
out. Yeah.
None. And so as I watch these, as I look at these numbers, the Mavericks are the one that leaps out to me because after what happened last night, if you believe that Luka and Kyrie, because remember when Bespris was on, he was like, well, the T-Wolves should think to themselves that what they had to face against the Nuggets was so much more complex and so much more to worry about than just Luka and Kyrie. But the nature of basketball, right, the counter to that is there's five guys on the court, and if two of them are Hall of Famers, what matters other than that?
It's just different.
Right?
I mean, it's not that I disagree with what Dan said on Friday, but it's just it's Jokic is a special player. So is Luka Doncic, right? It might not be the same level, but he's a special offensive player that's a completely different matchup for them. So, I mean, when you boil what all four of these teams have going for them down, it's, okay, the Mavericks got stars, right? And they got one guy who's been there before, too, I think was very evident with Kyrie last yep. night, right? First half, here's someone who's been here before and is going to act, you know, played like it, acted like it. They got that going for them. Okay, Timberwolves have one of the best defenses we've seen in a while. Can their offense keep up, though, right? That's always a question. Celtics, it's shooting and defense, and then the Pacers got the shooting.
Just want to say it's okay to say some sports easier to wrap your hands around than others. College baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet. That's a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5. You'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSiN, and you are on the way to all of that. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Before we talk college baseball with Matt Grissom, Kelly and I are having this riveting discussion off air that I think we should bring on air. You brought back, because I mentioned that as these series progress,
yeah.
that those hypothetical, I get it, that the prices are not hypothetical because you'd actually bet them, but the matchups being hypothetical because we don't know what they are yet in the NBA. I was saying as these series progresses, those numbers should change. And you're like, and you still don't buy that.
I don't think they should change that much because you're
Not after one game, they shouldn't change that much.
I don't even think it's like if the Timberwolves, your example, right? If they go down 0-2,
yes.
It's just they should change a lot in the overall to win the NBA finals, right? Because you still have to win eight games in total out of what? That would be 12 possible remaining, right?
Right.
But this is a brand new series then.
Yeah, but they're down 0-2, so to make that series happen is that much more improbable.
Yeah, but we're not talking about to make the NBA Finals now. We're talking about once you're already there to win the NBA Finals.
Right, but they're down 2-0. So the T-Wolves shouldn't stay at plus 195 to be in a matchup with the Celtics, because for you to put your money on that matchup, right?
Yeah, but if they don't make it, it just gets canceled.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
Right.
Okay.
Like, they should get longer in the overall futures market, right?
Well,
when
for sure.
When they lose games.
Right. But
the only thing that would change here is, I think, if the book's overall power ratings of the team change along the way, which absolutely could occur.
Wait, but so you get refunded if this doesn't work out? So you're bringing in a point that I didn't think.
Oh, I would assume so. Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Let's not assume that.
They have to be canceled. They have to be canceled bets if someone doesn't get it.
I don't know if they are. I don't know. We'll have to check on that. But you're saying it did change somewhat after game one?
Slightly. I believe slightly, yes.
Right, because if they're down three, well, I don't know. It's an interesting question, though, because now I'm getting discombobulated thinking about it.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have stayed off air. Anyway, maybe we'll do that off air next time. Let's talk some college baseball, because this is always fascinating. We have made good money over the years on this. Matt Grissom has a website. He was kind enough to be here on the table with us last week. It's collegebaseballinsiders.com. He joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at Grissom on X, G-R-I-S-S-O-M. And this is great to have you on the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. This is why I love VSiN, because I've had blinders on for college baseball. I couldn't even tell you what other sports are going on. So glad I could be here. Hear a little French Open from you, Gil, and then NBA from Kelly. It's great. I don't even have to lift a finger on those sports. I just follow you guys.
Well, that's what you're here for college baseball. We don't want to have to lift a finger. And if you could, Matt, before we even get into thoughts on these teams, can you explain to everybody the format from this point forward, and specifically what happens with regionals?
As of right now, we are in conference tournaments, and then we'll have the selection show next week. That's going to give you your 16 regional places where the top four seeds four seeds will play each other in a double elimination. So it'll be 1-4, 2-3, and then on and so forth till everyone has been doubly eliminated and you crown a champion. Then they'll play in a super regional, which will just be a typical weekend best of three series. And those hosts will be the top eight national seeds. Unless one of them loses, then it'll go to the higher seeded team. So it's a little wonky, but it's the most entertaining form of sports. I mean, you'll see ESPN will have the squeeze play going, which is basically like the NFL red zone channel for college baseball. It'll be like home run here, and then it'll flip over and show a gem of a catch. It's the best thing in sports, in my opinion.
All right, now when I had Brad Poors, my buddy, on in previous years, and we talked about regionals, though, these are, you know, we use the word politics to describe some of the decision making and how teams end up where they end up, because it's not completely democratic, right, in that respect.
Yes, and very much so. It's very location based. These teams, you know, a lot of college baseball programs don't have a lot of money to travel, so you may get seated in a tougher regional just based on where your location is. So for instance, I think Campbell a couple of years ago, they got seeded with a really good Wake Forest team. Granted, they probably shouldn't have been in that regional, but because of being on the East Coast, that's where they ended up. And Little Rock is probably going to end up in the Fayetteville regional, and that's brutal for them because it looks like Arkansas is probably going to be a top five seed when UALR is not necessarily one of the worst four seeds. They were winners of the OVC. But just due to logistics and traveling for these teams, that's where they're going to end up.
All right. By the way, Democratic small D. I should point that out, Kelly, in this day and age, for God's sakes.
I got a blackjack story for you about that later.
For God's sakes, small D.
Everything is political nowadays, right?
That's right. That's not what I meant. Okay, so you're betting on a daily basis. What is the go-to book for you, Matt? Because this is the biggest question with College World Series is, all right, what books are even posting these games day-to-day right now?
So all of our odds on our website, collegebaseballinsiders.com, those are pulled from DraftKings. They've been the most consistent as far as posting all season long, every day. Here in Arkansas, I've got Bet Saracen and Oaklawn. Oaklawn copies lines straight from Bet Rivers. So if I ever make a reference to Bet Rivers, that's where I'm betting it. Which, you know, they're Bet Rivers, hats off to them. They're the ones that have hung these odds to make the College World Series. So just to get to Omaha, and this is an option where you can attack it and not have to rely on, you know, the 25-1 ticket when they may not win it all because of their pitching staff, which unfortunately they've showed the last week. But just to get there, and we saw a lot of teams get there that I think would have surprised people, like TCU, Oral Roberts last year. So I feel like we're doing a really good job of monitoring teams that are on an upward trend, and we'll get into that here in a minute.
Okay, so let's do that. So let's start with, are there any games today that you've bet? And let's then go to that before we get to the outrights. Teams to make the College World Series bets. Let's do all three levels of this.
So SEC tournament is going on right now. They start, I feel like, at 5 a.m. This is absolutely brutal. But Arkansas is playing Kentucky. It's the number 2 versus number 3 seed in the tournament. Kentucky was the outright winner shared with Tennessee, but because they're in the East, Tennessee got the 1 seed, Arkansas got the 2 seed because they're in the West. So Kentucky gets slotted at the 3. I'm on Arkansas. Hagan Smith is going today. They threw off to keep his rest. And that's something that I try to really explain to people. These top 8 teams, they really don't care to win this conference tournament. This is all about saving your arm. We were not going to throw Hagan Smith off 6-day rest when yesterday's game did not matter. We started our normal midweek guy in Bid Bobby. We lost 6-5 to South Carolina. Hagan Smith today on normal rotation, I felt like, you know, minus 175, that's one of the lower prices he's been all season long. He's our stud ace being compared to Paul Skeens. Outside of that, I really like Oklahoma State, which is a team I was going to get into with the futures right now. This team is trending up. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won their first 2 games in the Big 12 tournament. They're going to be minus 185. I'm not sure who their pitchers are. The teams have been awful about announcing at the last minute. But this Oklahoma State team, they're 6-1 right now to make the College World Series on Bet Rivers. They're 7th ranked in our insiders power ratings. 8-2 in the last 10, number 1 pitching staff in the country over the last 10 games, and they're number 10 in the last 10 in hitting. It's a very well-balanced team, trending upwards. They've got the pitching staff to compete with anybody, and I like them to make some noise in the postseason.
Okay, so Arkansas today, Oklahoma State to make the College World Series. Anything else?
And Oklahoma State tonight.
Minus
175. And then this Southern California Oregon game is kind of interesting. Depending on who goes, that's a 5:30 Eastern game. I think Southern California, this was a team that they were displaced all season long. They're rebuilding their baseball stadium. They had to drive 45 minutes to play their home games. This is a team with a very deep pitching staff that finally seems to be healthy. Oregon minus 180, Southern Cal plus 140 may be a play for me. And then I like LSU to take care of business tonight against South Carolina. That's another team that's trending forward right now at the right time.
Okay. Matt, we'll add to the outright, so we'll have more outright thoughts next week. Yes?
Perfect. Absolutely.
Matt Grissom, everybody. CollegeBaseballInsiders.com. Grissom on X. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Crackman is next. Unscripted. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by DraftKings and Zyn Nicotine Pouches this hour. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin from Bar Canada at the D. By the way, Kelly, you're completely right about the series prices. It would refund. I apparently, in my head, had exactas in my head, so I'm getting discombobulated.
Yeah, that's right. What you were thinking. We talked a lot of exactas, okay?
That's what happens when you're looking at draws for the French Open in between segments. Like, what? What are we doing?
We've also talked a lot of exactas and not at all on look at headlines. Yes.
So I completely got confused. Mea culpa on that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Thursdays. You know what that means. Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Crackerberger. Let's go. Billy.
Hello, guys.
What's happening?
I don't think I've been here. I feel like I haven't been here in a month.
It feels that way.
Oh, wait, well, you were off.
I was off.
Were you off 1 week?
1 week.
And I last week had the night before the show, I said I was coming on the next day, but had an opportunity to jump on a plane the next day, next morning. And I only had the flights. I only had so many choices. And I was like, oh, damn, I just promised Gil I was coming on. And I think I texted you. Like, did I text you in the morning or hopefully it was the night before?
Yeah, no, it was the night before.
It was?
We had a solid 24 hours.
Oh, good. Okay.
It was the day before.
Yeah. I know the day before I was like, I talked to you, or the 2 days before.
This is when the NFL schedule came out, right?
Yes, and I had to go down to Florida to make sports bets because, of course, I have to leave Las Vegas, which is a sports betting capital of the world.
Yes.
I mean, it's supposed to be.
Yes.
The reason why I went to Florida, because I was there at Tampa a few weeks earlier, and they had the season wins, over under season wins up before almost anybody. And not only did they have them, they were taking giant bets. I was fooling around, I was just almost testing to see how much money they take. And
what did we learn?
I learned they took it. What did I learn?
How much?
I didn't bring enough money.
Wow.
No, I definitely did. I had like 25 grand and it went on the first three bets. Yeah.
Wow.
So I said, I got to go back there eventually. And when I seen other markets coming up, I said, you know what? Let me get back there. And I you could look at their lines here, which is unbelievable. Like, it's great. You can look at the lines in Las Vegas. And I just got on a plane and went down to Hard Rock in Hollywood this time. And let me tell you, I'm tough on casinos a lot. I expect more out of them than most, and to try to help the customer and the Joe public. I was really impressed with that property. I haven't been there in a couple of years since the Guitar Tower was built. They put billions of dollars into this place. Billions with a B. I mean, just their pools and cabanas. And I mean, it reminds me of being in like the Bahamas or something.
Yeah.
It was really, really nice. I didn't expect it to be that nice. I was at the pool every day, which I normally don't do. But I had some friends down there, and they were going to go to the pool. I said, oh, I'll go to the pool. And I learned something. So I brought – I knew I was going to go to the pool.
Did you wear the Kangol at the pool? That's what we
I did, know. In the water a little bit, and then I took it off a little
Just
bit.
Curious.
Yeah. But I learned something.
Good question, but you can't get sunburnt.
That's the only question I had.
I'll make you laugh. I'm talking about all these tens of thousands of dollars, and I'll make you laugh. I'll get the frugal Bill Crackenberger. I had some sunblock in the apartment from 3 or 4 years ago, I guess. I just said, let me bring the sunblock with me. So I put the sunblock on. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, I got a little burned by my head. And how did I get burned? Well, I realized it expired in 2020. So
wait, where'd you bring the sunblock from?
From Vegas.
Sunblock expires.
It expires. But, I'm always a proponent of saying everything expires, but it's still good.
Right, yeah.
Not the sunblock.
Expired.
Sunblock definitely expires.
I did not know that. I learned something today.
Yeah.
Sunblock expired.
Expired.
So I think about it. I said, I bought this at Dollar Tree, I think. I was like, I'm thinking to myself, what's wrong with me? Why wouldn't I get a good sunblock from 2024 that I still have this one from 2020, which is probably from 2016?
Well, aren't you limited to like 3.3 fluid ounces or 3.4 fluid ounces in travel anyway?
Yeah, but it was in the bag, though. It was in the bag.
Oh, and you checked
it. So I immediately got robbed for $25 for a copper tone one at the hotel. But I just thought that was kind of funny. We live our life sometimes, and then sometimes we live our life so differently. And I was just like, well, what's wrong with me? I'm betting tens of thousands here.
And you won't buy the $25 sunscreen.
Five-year-old sunblock.
We're all like that, though.
Yeah.
We're all
trying to get the best of everything. I got some of the sunblock in my.
By the way, I've said this on air. I've had a low-key, very low, this tone argument with a TSA agent about them stealing my sunblock.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I said, you think the world's going to be safe that you just stole my sunblock? Right? And they go, actually, I think the world is safer. And I go, I don't think so. I don't think it is. I think it is, sir.
I would have loved to have there for that.
Wow. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to the problems at the airport. I'm going to get to that. But I wanted to tell you, the Hard Rock, everything from the rooms to the unbelievable shows. I mean, the Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be there this weekend, or the next weekend. Diana Ross was just there, like, out of retirement.
By the way, her voice at 76 years old is still spectacular.
Unbelievable,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Rooms are great. I stayed in there a couple times when they first opened. It was awesome. Yeah.
Rooms were unbelievable. You know, you guys know what hotel rooms are in Nevada, Las Vegas, and wherever casinos you go to. So when you go to an outside room at a hotel, like the Masters, and you stay in Motel 6 or one of the motels, you say to yourself, oh, my God, this is a disaster. We're expecting hotel rooms like Las Vegas and, like, you know, no, seriously, like the Masters, I pay $600 a night for Hampton Inn.
Yeah.
It's a dump.
We do get spoiled here.
So we get so spoiled.
Yeah.
For our room quality and the rooms there, I felt like I was in literally the Bahamas. It was unbelievable. The meals were great there. The service was really good.
Do you know we're getting a big old guitar here?
That's the reason I'm saying it.
Oh.
I think it's going to be if it's anything like that experience at Hard Rock Hollywood, it's over, brother. They're getting all the business here.
Really?
Hard Rock gets all the business here.
It is going to be the most iconic thing on the strip. Like right now, what would you say? The Stratosphere Needle is like the iconic thing on the strip, even though no one goes there. But when you think of the strip, maybe. But
Bellagio Fountains.
Oh, Bellagio Fountains too. But I'm just saying if you took a snapshot.
Right, yeah. Right, your skyline.
I think that the guitar will be it.
I'm personally annoyed by it just because it feels like South Florida's following me.
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, Fountain Blue, cool.
I talked to South Florida last week, and they're like, we're following, Kelly. We're totally following.
Like Fountain Blue and Hard Rock. Like, it was
so when's the last time you guys have been to Hard Rock Hollywood? I was there
probably 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That long ago. Okay. It was also, I'll just tell you.
Hollywood geographically is very short drive from Miami. If you have no traffic, of course.
Right,
over by the turnpike. So you're like
it's by the turnpike, but it's 15 minutes from the airport.
Yeah.
From the Fort Lauderdale airport, 35 from the Miami airport.
Close to the stadium.
Yeah.
Close to the stadium. And boy, the weekend, the eye candy down there. Oh my God. It's like a Miss Latino pageant every weekend. Like, from now on, I was rooting for Colombia in the Olympics. I'm rooting for them at everything. I mean, it's unbelievable down there. I mean, beautiful, beautiful girls, one after another. And the friendliness.
So there's that.
So I had a guy come up and ask for a selfie, right?
Uh-huh.
Ask for a selfie.
I recognize you.
As a matter of fact.
Recognized you.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I cannot believe the recognition from this show. There's a big South Florida following of your show, Gil.
I love you, South Florida.
People came up to me because of this show. Like, multiple people. Not one or two. I was walking. Listen, how can this happen? I'm walking through the pool with no hat. How can you recognize me without the hat?
I didn't recognize you when you had the baseball hat on.
Right, yeah.
I came on our show. I'm like, Bill, is that you?
Someone jumped out of the pool. A guy jumped out of the pool. Wait a minute. He said, he just seen me on it. He's seen JetBlue. Action's still on JetBlue. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's awesome.
Action's still on JetBlue. But him and his wife just watched, like, the night before flying in. But anyway, they recognize from this show, but the selfies, then a girl comes over to me. I don't really know this girl. She goes, can I get a selfie too? I said, sure. She says, what do you do? Like, she just wanted to, she was just being like they just want to be involved down there. It's really cool down there.
But now, just for clarification, explain to me the Florida gambling environment, that is the only game in town, so to speak.
I found out that you could actually bet sports all over Florida. I didn't know that. I thought it was only at the two.
If you're on property?
Yeah, yeah. But you can. No, but they have the app. You have an app in state.
Right. That you can use now.
You can use their app anywhere. But there's other properties all throughout the state of the Seminole tribe. I didn't even know.
Correct.
You can go to Coconut Creek and bet sports. Mm-hmm. I was like, what?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize that. And now, and then I seen the printout. There's like 50 places that have kiosks set up all over the state now. Mm. So you don't have to go like right to the counter. But by the way,
I think they're all under the Hard Rock umbrella, though, right?
I guess they're all under the Seminole umbrella.
Seminole Casino Coconut Creek,
but it is
under Hard Rock.
Hard Rock, okay.
Is a part of Hard Rock.
But
it is in effect the only game in town.
Okay, like Fort Myers, you can bet. I was like, Fort Myers? Yeah, you can bet in Fort Myers. Like, I didn't understand how they had the. I thought it was just the two properties that allowed sports betting. Mm. So, good guys. I've only met really good guys up at the counter there betting, and they told me, you know, I like that they say, hey, I tried to bet a dime or so on something. I was betting some NBA props. He's like, you can put a nickel through. We can send a dime through for approval, but you can put the nickel right through. So I put the nickel through, waited 10 minutes, went up again, put the nickel through again. I mean, they were cool about it, too. You know, then I'll be real blunt. I went to the kiosk. They didn't change again. I bet again. You know, 300. The kiosk was set at 300. So, but I gave them time in between. I wasn't trying to circumvent limits. They were you know, some of them, they moved right away. One bet I made for a nickel, they moved right away.
Is a little part of you thinking about moving there?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I can't stand the humidity and the bugs. Who likes that? I'll never be in a humid place again. Never. Never, ever. By the way, they got hit with a heat wave. It was 100, which it never is 100. Usually it's like 90, 85. It was 100 degrees and humid. Yeah, I was in that pool. And the pools are so beautiful. Waterfalls come over your heads. I was like, this is unbelievable.
Oh, Billy is mesmerized.
No, I was really impressed by it. But now there's some bad, too. We'll talk about it after the break.
Mosquitoes call the airport, make sure my flight arrives on time.
Right, right.
They love me.
Yeah.
That's a real Achilles heel. Yeah. Okay, more with the crack man, unscripted, the bad, and other topics. He's got a list today. He's got things on his mind. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.